Welcome to episode 392 of the Entertainment 2.0 podcast, brought to you by thedigitalmediazone.com. I'm your host and producer, Josh Pollard.
And I'm James Montemagno, and this is the show where we talk about Microsoft entertainment technology, including audio, video, gaming, and more across all Windows platforms.
So James, there's been one thing that has been consistent between the last two episodes of Entertainment 2.0, and that's you.
Yay!
Is this like a hostile takeover of Entertainment 2.0?
I'm trying to. You know, I'm trying to wiggle my way back into the digitalmediazone.com. Just really get all up in there all the time. That was my strategy. So,
well, it's working. So thank you again for filling in when we needed some, not just some extra perspective, but some extra personality.
I try to do my best. And as you saw, that opening, that was super pro. I mean,
that was super pro. You've been around the podcasting block a few times. So.
It's like I've done a few hundred episodes here.
Exactly. All right. Well, we actually do have one piece of listener feedback that was sent in this week. It was sent in through email at entertainment20@thedigitalmediazone.com. You can do just like Elmer did and send us a message for a future episode. So he sent a message that said, "Hey guys, Elmer here. First of all, happy holidays to you and all the people that listen to your podcast."
Happy holidays, Elmer. Happy holidays. Hit you back, Elmer. Boom.
So he says, "I use Kodi for most of my media playback, including recorded TV, which is converted from WTV to MP4 using MCE Buddy. Windows Media Center is used only for live TV and copy-protected recorded TV. I use Plex purely for its media serving capabilities. I've been using both together for a while now. To achieve this, I use a Kodi add-on named Plex Kodi Connect." And he gave us the link, and we'll, of course, put that link in the show notes for you guys. "This allows me to use Kodi as a front end and the robust Plex capabilities as a media server. The only issue I've run into with Plex is that sometimes it screws up my TV show's metadata, even though I make sure they are named correctly when converted from WTV to MP4. Plex will still not read it correctly. I've set up my setup is to convert and name my recorded TV shows like this." He has the series name, so Designated Survivor, and then a subfolder for that that's season 01. And then within the season subfolders, he has his episodes named as E01-pilot.mp4. So series/season/episode number and episode name. And he says sometimes it shows up like series and then the season, but then it messes up the actual episodes. It'll just say like E01-episode01.mp4. And he's not exactly sure why, because he's got tons and tons of experience messing with these types of things, and it's not exactly working for him. He says that sometimes it'll even put all 13 episodes as separate seasons, which is really stupid. I have one possible suggestion, because I don't do mine exactly like this. I do one minor difference. On the actual episodes, I put everything. So in his example, my episode file name would be Designated Survivor space S01 E01. And then I don't put the show title in, because I don't care, because that's what Plex does for me.
Yeah, that's what I've used to do in the past too. It was always like the standard, even when trying to get and do stuff. It was always, yeah, season, episode, and then you could do additional things after it if you want, but essentially that's just extra metadata, right? That you're not even going to see. That's just your file name, but really Plex will be showing some metadata. So what's important is that it gets to it. Now, I'm pretty sure that I used to put it in subfolders though, too, like season 01, but
yeah, and that's what he has too.
I'm assuming that that's what's happening, is like Plex is figuring out that it's episode 1 and probably says it's season 01, but it's just renaming it to whatever it wants, perhaps.
Yeah, that's weird. So Elmer, try putting the show name and the season number into your episode files, and let us know if that fixes the problem for you.
Yeah, for it doing 13 episodes is 13 seasons, I would be interested to know which ones do that, because something has terribly gone wrong as far as something terrible has happened. Now, for the kids out there, the kids that don't know what Kodi is, because I've heard Kodi about 1,000 times, and I had to look it up, and this Plex add-on for Kodi, and Kodi is just XBMC, correct?
Right.
Under
yep,
the hood.
It's just the rename of XBMC.
Gotcha. And then there's this Plex add-on, which is kind of just one of the channels inside of it that would give you Plex-type support, I assume.
Yeah, I guess. So, yeah. And he brings this up because a couple of weeks ago we were talking about how Plex made their own Kodi add-on, and I still don't understand why.
Yeah.
Why would you do that? But
that's what XBMC is supposed to do,
right? Yeah, they kind of do the same thing. So
yeah,
cool. I'm glad that it's mostly working out for Elmer, and hopefully this fixes the rest of his problems.
I'll tell you why they wanted to do that, right? Even on the Kodi website, they have this big blog post about Plex. Because Plex wants to take over the world, I think, and more power to them, I think. Because it's kind of like, hey, if you're using this, like, we already been doing it for a while. And then there's other things that XBMC does that a Plex wouldn't do, essentially, you know, in some instance. Even though Plex does, like, a lot of stuff. But it may not be your server or whatnot. But pretty cool.
Right.
I like what's happening here.
Yeah. Yep. All right. So let's move on to some news this week. We've got a ton of news, lots of video news here, some audio news, some gaming news. I'm going to let you know, the vast majority of this news in some way or another involves an Xbox.
Yeah, and I was super excited because when you invited me on, Josh, I had no idea what the news was because I'm like, it's end of year. What are we going to talk about? Josh is going to be like, oh, Windows Mobile something, Groove this, Groove that. And I wasn't sure, you know. I was excited there was some stuff happening in the Google world, but not really. There's even like very slow, right? It's like there's like five people at work, and like I work at Microsoft, so basically all of Microsoft's on holiday. But then I was like, whoa, look at all this Xbox news. I'm pretty excited to talk about it. I'm super excited.
Oh, yeah. Like, I mean, Richard told me a week or two ago that he wasn't going to be able to be on the show this week. And I thought, meh, there's not going to be anything to talk about. We probably just won't do a show because there's never any news in the couple weeks leading up to CES. Well, that's just not the case. So let's jump into all of this news. And the first story is, and I found this via Reddit, actually, Amazon launched a 4K version of their Amazon Video app for the Xbox One, finally. Yay! Great news. It supports 4K. It supports HDR. You'll know you have it because it has a different icon. It has a black background instead of a white background. Here's the problem. If you don't already have it, you're out of luck because they mistakenly released it. They didn't mean to put this out yet.
Oops.
So it became available over the weekend. Some people were saying they saw it in their ready to install section on their Xbox One. I'm not exactly sure because I missed out also, but people said it totally worked. They were watching Mozart in the Jungle in 4K and stuff like that, and that's awesome. But then other people got emails from Amazon a couple days later saying, yeah, that was a mistake. What you should do is uninstall that app and reinstall the regular app. That would be a much better idea. To which everybody was like, psh, why would I do that? I like me some 4Ks. You know? So it's not there unless you already grabbed it. I think if you already installed it, there's no way for it to go away. I suppose they could probably release an update to it that would intentionally break it. Mm. But they haven't done that so far, it doesn't sound like. But if you didn't already get it, you missed out. You can't get it right now. I tried tonight. It's not available. If you search for Amazon, you'll just get the app that's been out there.
And it looks like this was an update too, because he said that it appeared under the ready to install, which would be essentially an update if you don't have like auto updates of some stuff on, which is pretty interesting. My assumption here is that developer A, just whatever developer name is, submitted to the portal and there's an option. There's a little radio button that says automatically release on a certain day, or hold. And they probably meant hold or release on a certain day. And then they're like, here you go. But honestly, I'm kind of surprised because I would think that they would want to try to trickle this out in some way. Maybe it was only for beta testers or something like that, or maybe only for insiders and trickling it out because, I don't know, it seems like you would want some feedback before everyone gets their Xboxes in about 6 days.
Right. You would think that.
I mean, all of Xbox Live will be down again.
No, so, no, it's not. It won't be down this year. We're we're gonna have happy, positive thoughts, James.
I think it wasn't down last year, correct? Like, I think that.
No, it was down. Oh, okay. It was down.
Classic. It's kind of sad. I mean, I think that this guy said he was part of the preview program. So I don't know if developers can actually release apps, like, besides Microsoft could release apps only for the preview program. I'm not sure.
I'm not sure either.
I mean, granted, probably a company as big as Amazon with this app that's on the Xbox probably works really close with Microsoft. So that's probably possible.
Yeah, but you would think.
But one app that apparently is around and available to start streaming 4K HDR Ultra Violet something. I don't even know what these acronyms are anymore. This little app that I'm actually super excited about to go update. I'm sure it's probably still terrible, but it's called the Vudu app. Which is exciting to me because I have all of my ultraviolet digital copies in this puppy. I did disc to digital about a few years ago. I think I told you guys about it. And I have about 150 Blu-rays inside of Vudu. And this is also from Reddit. I'll put in the show notes. Is I said, hey, looks like there's a Vudu app update and it supports 4K. So Richard last week was talking about how he bought a movie on Ultra HD and it included an Ultra HD copy, which I'm assuming if he was to have cashed that puppy in via Vudu, then it would have got it. So that would have been pretty awesome. I want to go test this out. I'm going to do it tonight. I'm really excited about it.
Yeah, so I did open, I had to install this app. I've never even installed the Vudu app on my Xbox before. It's not great, so I don't know if they radically changed the user interface or if they did and it's just still not good.
It's probably terrible.
But it's functional, and I know that one of the titles they have in Ultra HD is Suicide Squad, so I went and checked that out, and it does list it as an option. So it looks like it's ready to go. James, do you have a 4K TV?
No, I don't. So that's the thing, is like, even if I wanted to use it, I couldn't. Because I don't have a 4K TV, I'm still rocking my Panasonic plasma, which I'm in love with, and it's going to happen at some time. I think I need to go back quite a few episodes and learn about the standards that are out there, because all these things are still confusing me as far as what kind of TV I want. But I do have an Xbox One S, which I'm, which, you know, I didn't buy because of Ultra HD. I bought it because it's smaller. I mean, selfishly, that's the only reason I actually bought it, was because it's smaller and less power consumption. But I will at some point. But I'm assuming, though, that, well, I mean, they already had all the HDX stuff, so this stuff looked pretty good, but I'll see what happens. To me, though, I think when I talk to Richard, I'm all about putting the disc in if I was going to watch it anyways. I mean, I do have gigabit internet, so I don't think it would be a matter. The inner tubes of the unicorns that can flow with the coins through the tubes into my Xbox One are pretty big. And they're all wired. So like, I have like the optimal setup, I would say, for this, but just not the TV. One day. We all can't get brand new TVs for Christmas, Josh.
You know, I don't want to hear it. This is my first new TV in 7 years.
Pretty good. I'm on five. This plasma has been around when I moved to Seattle 5 years ago. And man, the blacks are very black. It's a very lovely. That's the thing, is I don't know if I want to give it up, but I will say it does weigh 70 pounds. So
yeah. Yeah. I'm upgrading from a 42 inch plasma to a 55 inch LED.
Oh yeah.
And the new TV weighs less.
Yeah. Yeah. So you can imagine I have a 55 inch plasma, which is even more than your 42 inch plasma. It's like crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. It's nuts.
Yeah. But I will try this out, even if it doesn't stream in 4K, and I'll report back to Josh. I will send an email, which anyone can, to entertainment2o at thedigitalmediazone.com, and I will report back if the Vudu app is any better. And the answer already is no, it's probably still terrible.
It could be better and still be terrible, right?
Nope. I installed the iPhone app. Terrible. It's yeah. Horrific. Anyways,
right. Well, let's
move continue on. Yeah,
we've got as usual, we've got a little bit of Plex news in the show tonight, and that is Plex Cloud, which, as a reminder of what that is, it is the ability to run a Plex media server completely in the cloud. You don't need a machine running full time in your house. You don't need a NAS. You don't need any of that. You just get a Plex pass. Yes, get involved in the beta program and you then just need a place to store all this stuff in the cloud, which when Plex Cloud first rolled out, it only supported a service called Amazon Cloud Drive. This was only a couple of months ago when they first released this, and a few weeks ago we reported that they were starting to have some issues with Amazon Cloud Drive. Well, apparently they haven't been able to figure out how to make those issues go away. And at the end of this month, they're no longer going to support Amazon Cloud Drive with Plex Cloud. That doesn't mean that Plex Cloud is going away. I think we reported last week or the week before that there are other options now. You can throw all of your media in OneDrive or Dropbox or Google Drive and run a Plex Cloud server from there. But if you've already uploaded, you know, what if you have a couple of terabytes of content that you uploaded to Amazon Cloud Drive? Now you're going to have to move it all. That's going to stink. But there is a little bit of shiny news there. And that is that if you only signed up for Amazon Cloud Drive to do this, to run a Plex server there, you can cancel that Amazon Cloud Drive within 90 days of opening your account for a full refund. So that's good news, right?
Yeah, it's not bad. Yeah, go for it. Yeah.
So I guess move your stuff over to OneDrive, Dropbox, or Google Drive if you're wanting to do this. And you better do it quick. You've got about 10 days. So, yeah.
Yeah, I was actually looking into this because I was kind of curious now because I've never used Amazon Drive. I don't use a lot of Amazon services. I'm not a big fan in general. I mean, besides buying stuff and like some of their TV shows. But what's interesting is that, they had unlimited storage. It was $60 a year, which is pretty fantastical. Which is very intriguing because I was looking up now OneDrive pricing. I looked up Google Drive pricing. A terabyte is $9.99 a month. 10 terabytes is $100 a month. OneDrive. So like if you had an analysis of what you should move to, essentially, it looks like your OneDrive. Okay. So your OneDrive, if you want a terabyte, $7 a month. For one user, yeah, that's about it. They don't even offer anything more besides 1 terabyte. So I'm kind of like looking into, what was the other one that they have? Well, they have one more provider. You got OneDrive, Dropbox. Google Drive, and Dropbox.
Dropbox is notoriously the most expensive. And if you're considering going the OneDrive route, the smartest option would actually be to sign up for Office 365.
Yeah, that's the one that's $6.99. It's OneDrive plus Office 365, which is actually a pretty banging deal.
Yeah, you get all of Office plus a terabyte of OneDrive storage. And I think that includes 5 users, doesn't it?
For $9.99. Do you have to pay?
Oh, it's $9.99 if you want 5 users. But then that's 5 users all having their own 1 terabyte of storage in addition to all of the Office apps. So that's definitely the way to go here.
Yeah. Now I'm looking up OneDrive pricing or Dropbox pricing. That's Dropbox Business. Ugh. Would they just tell me how much this thing costs? I always have the free plan of everything. And then like, we're going to hide. Just put all your files in here first. Wink, wink.
Yeah, exactly.
There's the plans. Okay. So the plans, 1 terabyte is the pro plan for $8.25 a month for individuals. It doesn't look like you can get more than a terabyte. So if you have a lot of terabytes of Google Drive, not a bad option. 10 terabytes, $100 a month. So that's it starts to get really expensive to use that cloud storage real quick.
Yeah, for sure.
Man, that is really, really expensive. I mean, you can get 30 terabytes for $300 a month. Ooh.
It doesn't go down as you buy more.
It does not. No, it does not. It's very, very intriguing. But I would say look at the plans because if you don't have a lot, you know, OneDrive has 5 gigs, Google Drive is 15 gigs for free, and I think it's about like 5 or 6 gigs for Dropbox. So definitely Google Drive has the most for that. But OneDrive is really nice to share all of your stuff between all of your PCs and stuff in the house. So
right. Yeah, we've talked about OneDrive a ton on the show. It is really nice for syncing all of your content across all of those places. And you've got that automatic photo backup stuff that'll run on any phone, iOS, Android, and Windows phone. So that's nice. I still do that even with my Android phones.
Yeah, they're very competitive. I mean, because Google Photos has the same thing, unlimited photo uploading, and I think video uploading too, and stuff like that. So try them all, right? I think multiple work with Plex. So you store your movies in one, you store your episodes in another, and then you take advantage of it. That's pretty good.
Yeah, that would probably work.
Yeah, but you're going to run through, man, some of those, you know, videos, you run through them so quick. Anyways, I digress. That is a whole episode of just cloud storage that we could get into one day, but it's crazy. Yeah,
for sure. Yeah. All right, let's move on to some audio news. Just a little bit of audio news this week.
Oh, yeah.
Groove Music. We've got an update for it on Android and iOS.
Got that groove. Got that groove.
This is when everybody wishes this was a video podcast so that you could have seen James dancing. I got
dancing,
that.
Got the groove.
So Android and iOS now getting the Your Groove functionality. This is that functionality that we talked about way back in July when this first came to Windows 10 and Windows 10 mobile devices. This is their curated playlist/radio sort of feature, which is pretty nice. It'll take the content that you already have. You take all of your music, throw it up on OneDrive, and then it works even better, of course, if you have a Groove Music subscription. And it'll just come up with fun playlist of music that you already own and music that you like to listen to, based on just different random things like sad country songs or I don't know. It's been a while since I've looked at this because
sad country song. So all of
that's
country.
Like all of them, right? Yeah.
So here's a good example of this. Okay. So Josh doesn't know what he's talking about. So I've used this in Google Play Music for a long time in Spotify. Like this one's pretty good. They have like these recommended explore lists where it's like, you know, holiday, if you're feeling merry, it'll be like what, you know, top, you know, cozy classics or like, hey, are you making dinner? Like here's some good, like, you know, cooking music or based around the type of things that are going on, they'll curate something around that. But they also have lists such as this is the top, you know, charts right now that are really popular, or top, you know, indie music or something like that. So they're a pretty good way of exploring just a genre, but also a theme, I think is kind of what they're going for. Like on Google right now, there's hanging out. So it's like chill indie beats, crowd pleasing indies, ultimate hip hop party, ultimate pop party, things like that in a theme where you're like, oh, you know what I could use right now? Chilling on the couch music. Cool. I'm going to listen to that. So it's good to see them finally up their game a little bit.
I like some of the names that Your Groove comes up with better. So here are some of the examples from my own Your Groove suggested.
Josh's playlist. Groove.
Yeah. So we've got idealistic music in the 1990s. We've got dark feelings.
Oh my
we
goodness.
Have touching alternative.
Oh my gosh.
And because I think they knew I was talking to you right now, we've got one called Hipster Touch.
Oh yeah.
Perfect.
Perfect. Play that one. Boom.
Yeah. All right. So that's now available on Android and iOS. And that's pretty much it for the Groove update this week.
Yeah. But I'm super excited for not Groove information because I own an Xbox One. I also specifically own an Xbox One S, and I've been waiting for something for a long time, which is actually not the main piece of this article, but I found out this via Twitter from our good friend Richard Lawler from Engadget, right? Did I say that right? Yep. He tweeted about that basically Blu-ray Bitstream pass-through is now available to Xbox One preview subscribers. You just go and say, let my receiver decode audio, like I can have my Axim do it. It's under your disc and Blu-ray settings, and it's totally there. The only problem is that I decided that the Xbox was updating too many times, so I turned off the Xbox One preview program from my Xbox One, so I can't get this yet. sad. Because I was waiting for it because I kind of didn't realize that that's what it was doing, and there's different options when I got my 5.1 surround sound system set up. So this will come. It's already out there in preview form. You have it. But what's interesting is that they also just announced that Dolby Atmos sound will be coming to Xbox One and Windows 10. I don't know what that means. I guess if you plugged an Xbox or a Windows 10 machine into your TV, I guess it would work. But essentially, it'll be, Atmos is already available inside the Blu-ray app in preview, and it's going to go to GA soon. But it's also going to be coming to games, which is really interesting. I don't know if games are already taking advantage of Atmos, or if they're going to have to program additional audio tracks into it via updates or what. I don't even know what I need for Dolby Atmos system. Josh, maybe you can help me out. Is my 5.1 surround sound system, or do I need a 10.18 surround? That's a lot of subwoofers, but what do I need for an Atmos setup? Except when I go to the theater, like when I go to Cinerama, like I just saw Rogue One, great movie. When I go to Cinerama, it's pretty great for a spinoff. When I go to Cinerama, they have like a crazy, you know, crystal projector. It's the only one in the world. And they have like these crazy Dolby Atmos, ridiculous, craziness. I don't know. So what do I need in my house if I wanted to even take advantage of this? Like, okay. I get Bitstream audio. If I have a receiver that gets Bitstream audio, that's basically that support. But what's Atmos?
Okay. So Atmos is it's Dolby's technology for giving you more three-dimensional sound. And what it really means is sound from above you. Mm. So an Atmos setup, you might see a common Atmos setup might be labeled as like 5.1.2 or 5.1.4. There's a third set of numbers there. And those are for speakers that you put up high. So they could be in your ceiling or just mounted up high on the wall. And you just tell your receiver where they are, and it knows how to place the audio so that it sounds like it's coming from that direction. And I really like how Microsoft wrote this article talking about Atmos in gaming. What they did was they said, essentially, let's say you're playing Overwatch or any other first person shooter, and there's a sniper shooting at you from over your left shoulder. Mm-hmm. You will hear the shot coming from over your left shoulder, not just from the left, not just from behind you, but over your left shoulder.
Yeah.
So I don't think any games are doing this yet, but it will be coming soon, and it's going to be really, really awesome when it does. You're going to need a new receiver if you don't already have one that supports Atmos. Unfortunately, the one you have, James, doesn't support Atmos. You're going to need a lot more speakers.
Yeah, not going to happen.
But it's cool. It's very cool. I've heard demonstrations at CES, and it is a really, really nice thing to have if you've got a theater that'll support it. It's great. Of course, lots of movies already support Atmos.
Yeah.
There'll be, when it's raining, you'll hear the rain above you instead of like on the sides and stuff. So it is really, really immersive. Atmos is really, really cool.
Yeah.
So I think that's awesome to see that it'll be coming to games on both Xbox and Windows 10. So that is really cool.
Yeah, when they redid Cinerama last year, I want to say, that's what they did, is they took photos of them redoing the ceiling, and they put the craziest Atmos thing. So when they do the intros to the movie, it's all like sound all around you. And it's like all around you and above you and all this stuff. It's really cool experience. Not all movies support it, but a bunch of them do, and they highlight it on there, which is cool. Right. Is my Axim 4K HD thing going to get that or no? I don't think it will.
At least when they announced that they were releasing a 4K update to the Axim Q, I don't think they mentioned Atmos at the time, but I would have to go back and look. I've been wondering the same thing.
HDMI 2.0 with HDCP 2.1, Ultra HD, UHD, HDR, up to 4K at 60 resolutions. Doesn't say anything else. So probably not. It's a codec thing, I assume, but yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it could be that their wireless speaker technology that they're using doesn't support it. I don't actually know. I should ask them.
Yeah,
I need to reach out to them anyway. So I will ask them what's going on with Dolby Atmos and DTS:X, also a similar thing. So one question that I have, and I haven't been able to test this yet. I don't have a 7.1 setup, but there's two things that have bugged people about Xbox One and surround sound. The first is that it didn't do this true bit streaming thing. Mm-hmm. And the second is that if you have a 7.1 or 2 whatever setup, it messed it up so that it got the rears and the surrounds messed up so that it would invert them.
So if you had a 7.1.
Yeah, so a lot of people would just set it to 5.1 so that it wasn't sending the wrong signal to the wrong speakers.
Oh.
I wonder if they fixed that with this. I don't know for sure. I haven't tested it, and I haven't talked to anybody who has. And then the other question that I have is and we talked about this a few weeks, probably a couple months ago at this point, is the theory that a lot have had as to why they didn't really support the true bit streaming stuff is because the Xbox also does other sounds. Like, mm-hmm. if you're watching a movie And then a notification pops up because a friend got online or a game finished installing or something like that. Mm-hmm. That's another sound that the Xbox needs to process and decode and send out to your speakers. How does it do that if it's not doing any of the decoding? How is it injecting that into the audio stream sending out? Maybe it just doesn't. Yeah, maybe
I'm okay with that.
Yeah, maybe if you're watching a movie, it just doesn't play those sounds, which I think most people would be fine with.
Yeah, do you know how hard it is to actually find the setting to actually turn off those notifications? It's like random checkboxes that you have to do, except for like whenever playing movie. Like, I don't want pop-ups. Like, Josh is online. Cool. I'm watching.
Don't you want to know?
No, I don't want to know.
You should drop whatever it is that you're doing and come play games with me.
I couldn't even imagine. I swear that they used to be off by default, but in the Xbox One, it's on by default. And I don't have a lot of friends on Xbox. See what I did there? on Xbox, just because it was always weird, because I wish that people just use their real names, because I don't remember people's aliases. I think like you're like F1 race car go Forza guy. I'm not really sure.
Something like that.
I mean, mine's easy. Mine's Motz, M-O-T-Z. It's like I was an original beta tester of Xbox Live way back in the day. I have like the 10-year stamp or whatever. There was one year where I wasn't subscribed. So like...
You wrecked it.
I know. It was before they were giving these cool badges out. So I don't even know any people. But anyways, it's going to be sweet. But talking about Xbox and Xbox Live, this is pretty exciting because I don't know about you, Josh, but I love buying games, especially when they're on sale.
Oh, absolutely, when they're on sale.
Oh yeah.
But aren't most of the sales done? I mean, like, we already passed Black Friday.
Yeah. Well, you'd think they'd be over, but you know, continuously, honestly, some of the deals on Xbox One have just been bananas, even so running up to Christmas. But when you think about Christmas, everyone's going to be getting brand new systems, and what's a better way to get a brand new system but then go on to Xbox Live and the marketplace and just be like, wow, look at all these games that are on sale, because they're running to quote Xbox's store's biggest sale ever, which I guess is going and starting on December 22nd, so on Thursday, and going all the way through January 9th. So this is perfect for those gifts. So don't worry if you're getting the gift, giving a gift essentially, but they're having Xbox One and Xbox 360 titles. In addition, you don't even have to have Xbox Live to do this. 60% off, up to 60% off on some of those games. Things like Battlefield 1, Watch Dogs 2, The New Dead Rising, Gears 4, ReCore, COD, Final Fantasy 15. I mean, a whole bunch of stuff are going to be on sale. They have a trailer video where they kind of go through a bunch of them. But what I'm excited about is that you can actually give the gift of gold. That's right. That is essentially the Microsoft line. Give the gift of gold for $1.
Right. Yeah, if you're not a gold subscriber, which you really want to be, because you get
so good
extra discounts during the sale and most of their sales if you're an Xbox Live Gold subscriber. I mean, frankly, I don't know why anyone who has an Xbox isn't an Xbox Live Gold subscriber. But if you're not, pay $1, get it for a month, get big discounts on these games. And of course, there's always the games with gold, which we'll get into in a minute. But yeah, there's some big titles here that they're going to be putting on sale that you tore through here. There's also, they said, 40 Xbox 360 games that are backwards compatible will also be on sale over this couple week period. So that's really cool to see. There will also be TVs and movie episodes. Movies and TV episodes on sale during the sale. So you'll want to check that stuff out too. And then it sounds like they're going to kind of change things up. There's going to be some daily deals, so you'll want to check every single day to see what the daily deals are. And they said weekly deals rotate December 29th. So 22nd through the 29th sounds like one set of deals. And then on the 29th, you'll get some new things on sale. If you see something on sale that first week and you think, oh, I bet it'll be on even bigger sale the second week, that's probably not how it's going to work. Just buy it the first week if it's on sale and you want it. Don't wait. James, you and I were talking a little bit before the show, and you brought up a really good thing to know. A lot of people travel during this time, and you might be away from your Xbox. Mm-hmm. And you might be thinking, well, how am I going to buy games without my Xbox? you can do it right from the website, guys, xbox.com. I think you can even do it through the Xbox apps on your phone.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's no reason to miss out on all of these deals. There's going to be a ton of them. You won't want to miss them. Starts Thursday. Starts while you're listening to this, probably.
But you don't even have to wait to get even more deals on the Xbox, because Xbox One backwards compatibility catalog has reached and now exceeded 300 games, which is pretty fantastic, including the game that I wrote many moons ago for Xbox Live Arcade, which is kind of funny.
Is what's now it called? Tell our listeners so they can go and play it.
You can go download Shred Nebula, which is a top-down space shooter. It was an Xbox Live Arcade game released many moons ago. It is not on sale, I don't think, but it could be.
It might be next week.
It could be. You can see a picture. If you go to the credits, you can see me with really long like chops, and I look really crazy and
really?
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was awesome. 20. So this must have been 9 years ago. I was 21, I think, when I released that game at the studio at crunch time. Mm-hmm. Yeah, which is pretty cool. And yeah, so that was the one game that I ever made. I mean, I made multiple games, but I mean, that actually was on a major console. Which is cool. But to celebrate this backwards compatibility, Microsoft is giving a game out completely for free, which is a really amazing game. It's actually a Japanese RPG by a very, very amazing studio called Mistwalker, before this game released Blue Dragon, which is an awesome game. They're giving away for free Lost Odyssey, which is a game released in about 2007 for the Xbox 360. This game is pretty fantastic. If you like JRPGs, it's definitely totally worth getting. I remember playing this many, many moons ago. I mean, this is from, many iconic, creators from like the Final Fantasy series, and just a whole bunch of other just really amazing composers from like music and audio. It's really awesome. It's completely free. The digital copy valid until the end of the year. Which is really cool. So it's like, hey, here's a free game. And I don't even think you need Xbox Live for this either. It's just here's a free game, from my understanding. Yeah.
I think you're right. And I 100% agree with you on this. This was when Microsoft announced backwards compatibility, this was on like my top three games that I wanted to be backwards compatible. I didn't own it. Because I had like rented it or whatever way back on the Xbox 360 days, but I freaking loved that game, but I never finished it. So I really wanted to go back and get this. So right before this became backwards compatible, because there were rumors, I went and bought it on disc, all three disc, for dirt cheap, fortunately, but still haven't replayed through it. Now it's free, so I just downloaded it that way, and I'm going to sell my disc in January when it's not free anymore. it's great. A super long, really, really cool role-playing game for free. Go and check out Lost Odyssey for sure. Mm-hmm. That's not the only free game though, because there's always those games with gold. As long as you have an Xbox Live Gold subscription, you're getting four free games a month from the Xbox. And January's games were just announced today. On the Xbox One, you're going to get World of Van Helsing Death Trap.
I'm sure that's great.
I'm not too excited about this one. It's billed as a tower defense action RPG hybrid. I don't I know what those words mean on their own, but I'm not sure what they mean together. But hey, it's free for the entire month of January on Xbox One. And the much more exciting one is Killer Instinct Season 2 Ultra from January 16th to February 15th. That means all of the characters and modes and all that stuff that were released for Season 2 of Killer Instinct for free. That's awesome. I will definitely be getting that.
Yes, I actually worked with people that worked on that game. So a lot of people from the game studio went on to a lot of things, but now a lot of them work at Microsoft Game Studios or Microsoft Studios, actually working on the Killer Instinct. And some of these people were original people from the Street Fighter days. So if you've never played Killer Instinct, I know a lot of people that work on this game, and it's pretty awesome. I mean, this was like a launch game, original Killer Instinct, and they've just done so much with it, which is really cool for being a free game originally than add-ons. But then there's actually more to this that you're getting into too, which is kind of cool. So I won't spoil it. Go for it.
Killer Instinct is an Xbox Play Anywhere title.
Mm-hmm.
It is a free-to-play game on Xbox One and Windows 10. So this is actually the first time we've gotten a Games with Gold game for PC. I don't even think they mention that in the article, but it's absolutely true, because anything that you buy for Killer Instinct on either system is available on the other system. So that's really cool. I'm looking forward to that.
I like that.
All right, on to the 360 games. For the first half of January, you've got The Cave, which I've never even heard of. And for the second half of the month, you've got Rayman Origins. The Rayman games are always lots of fun. And hey, these games are both free and backwards compatible because they are Xbox Games with Gold games. So
yes,
no reason not to download them and check them out.
And yes, you should also download The Cave, because this is a Double Fine production directed by legendary Ron Gilbert. So,
I didn't realize it was a Double Fine game. So Double it probably Fine is worth checking out.
Yes. So Ron Gilbert from The Secret of Monkey Island, Maniac Mansion, et cetera, et cetera. That's a Double Fine production. So check that out.
Cool.
Yes.
Ooh. All right. You added one more story here. This is very late breaking news here.
Oh, yeah. So what's interesting, so now that we got our games out of the way, is I'm a big fan of streaming cord cutting technology. And there's a company out there, I don't know if you've heard of them, called Sling TV.
I have heard of them.
You have heard of them. You may
have an app on the Xbox.
They have an app on the Xbox. They have one on the Android TV. They have them basically everywhere. The idea is that you give them 20 some odd dollars a month and you can stream TV, essentially. And you can add packs and you can do all this stuff to it. Now, Sling TV, which was like CES a year ago, 2 years ago, when they started rolling this out, was they wanted to have apps on every device. But they've always kind of wanted to have a way of pulling in OTA channels to integrate. And there's been this long rumored Sling TV box. And there was a leak on That's Not Funny about Sling Air TV. Essentially, is that they've redesigned it and they're getting ready to perhaps launch it as their own set-top box during CES. And this is actually going to be an Android-powered set-top box from what it looks like. And it's in this really weird white and blue. It looks like a Wii-type system. And there's a...
Oh, it looks horrible.
It looks terrible. It looks like a kid's toy. And there's like a Sling button. There's a dedicated Google button, a dedicated Netflix button. But anyways, here's the idea behind it, is that you can get your live TV channels by plugging in a antenna. And I'm assuming if it is essentially running Android TV under the hood somehow, they could take advantage of the brand new Android TV recording system to maybe
do something.
Which no one has done yet. That is correct. It's officially supported in out of the box. But this doesn't really look, it looks really small, kind of like a Roku. So I don't think that they're going to shove a hard drive in here. So that would be the problem. So I'm assuming that they're just saying, listen, you got this OTA stuff and, you know, maybe we'll, you know, do something from there. I'm not sure, but it looks interesting. I don't know. It says, you know, Sling TV, Netflix, local channels, and more is their idea behind it. But I don't know. The remote looks terrible. So
yep,
judging it on the remote. But
we'll probably see more about this at CES in just a couple weeks.
Yeah, that'd be very interesting. Yeah, I'd be super interested in it to see if this is a combination of the Tableau or EchoStar Slingbox thing. And if it's an EchoStar product, then I definitely skip. But it's really interesting because maybe Sling can innovate into this market, which is kind of that market where like Arrow, you remember Arrow a long time ago?
Yep,
wanted to get Arrow into. Yeah, they essentially were reselling OTA TV service. But kind of Sling TV could maybe do that. Okay, plug in an antenna. Because here's what I'm thinking. Here's my thought, Josh. I live in Seattle. I have an OTA and I get some channels, but I don't get perfect reception. What if I could still plug in an antenna, but then just use the Sling TV application to just stream my local channels where it'd be better quality and I could stop, playback, and rewind and things like that? I don't know. That'd be kind of interesting. That's my idea. I don't know if it'll happen. That's all rumors, brought to you first on the Digital Media Zone. That's it.
All right, so that does it for our news this week. I just about called you Richard. James, let's get into what we've been up to in our entertainment centers and just random things that we've been watching not in our entertainment centers, like I don't know, a new Star Wars movie. I saw Rogue One today. Have you seen it?
No. Yeah, I saw it on Sunday. So I didn't get to go see opening weekend, but I went to the Cinerama, got my chocolate popcorn, got my coffee, watched, sat down, and got my Rogue One on. It was pretty fantastical for me.
So no spoilers here, of course.
No spoilers.
You liked it a lot?
I did enjoy it. I think that I will probably go see it one more time. I think that, remember that this is the spinoff year. This is not an episode release. This is the story of Rogue One, which essentially was the group of people trying to find plans for the Death Star. That is not a spoiler. That's literally the plot of the movie. So as that movie, I was very excited to go see it. It was extremely action packed, maybe too much action. I don't know what your thoughts are. Did you bring the kids?
And I did not. I told my daughter that she wants to see it. She's 8. She's seen all the other Star Wars movies now. But you know, the trailers made this movie look really, really intense. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to see this without you. And then I'm going to decide whether or not you can see it yet. And I still haven't made up my mind. She probably can, because like there is a ton of violence. It is a war movie. Mm-hmm. But it's not super gory or anything like that. It's not like people are getting cut in half and brain splatter all over the place or anything like that.
There's like one lightsaber the entire time. So
So I liked this movie. Mm-hmm. It wasn't great. There's lots of stupid plot holes, but I'm a fan of Fast and the Furious movies, so I can't really be that upset about glaring plot holes. It was good. It was better than most of the Star Wars prequels. But that's not really saying much.
All of them, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it was a violent movie. Like a lot of people died in general. Like, there's a lot of action, so there's a lot of shooting going on. So there's more casualties overall in the arc. But it's there are some. Here's the problem that I had: not having any plot things is in the first 5 minutes. You're introduced like 100 different planets.
Oh my gosh, that was the most annoying part.
Yeah, so I'm like, stop that, stop it. And then they stopped it. I'm like, okay, I can continue on now. But after that, how did you feel about K2SO? Is that what his name? K2SO, the robot?
I liked the droid.
The droid.
Overall. Yeah, the droid was there for, as usual, for comic relief. I didn't find him annoying. I did laugh at most of the things that he said. And it wasn't too much of it. They did not Jar Jar Binks up this robot.
Yeah, and Alan Tudyk is the one that voiced K2SO. I enjoyed K2SO. Some other people did not enjoy K2SO. So, I mean, K2SO is definitely no BB-8 or R2-D2 C-3PO combination, but K2SO was pretty okay. But again, some weird plot holes that were kind of unnecessary. But in general, I still thought it was good. I still want to go see it again. There's a lot of what's interesting is what's come out of it is essentially like a lot of people talking about CG in movies and things like that. So it kind of brought me back to a Tron Legacy type feeling at some points. But yeah,
CG faces.
Yeah, yep. Specifically. But I didn't.
About that. So the guys that I went and saw it with were talking about it afterwards. And I was like, well, who had a CG face? And I'm not going to say. And they're like, well, this person and this person was a CG face. And I'm like, oh, I thought it looked really good. I didn't notice, but apparently some people thought it looked like crap.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty good. So.
All right. So in my home, I have been watching Westworld. I did the free trial of HBO Now, and I'm 2.5 episodes into Westworld. I like it. I'm not completely sucked in the way that everybody made it sound like I would be, but I'm liking it. I'm going to keep watching it. I definitely like it enough to keep watching, but it gets phenomenal as what everybody made it out to be.
It keeps going. It even gets better and better and better, I'm pretty sure. I want to rewatch it because I'm sure there's a whole bunch of stuff. I did the same thing. I took advantage of the HBO won't let me give them my money to buy the season. So I guess I'll give Amazon the credit card to get me my free subscription that will then cancel as soon as I'm done with it. I really enjoyed it. I want to go rewatch it again. I want to go watch the original movie and Future World too. Now that I'm intrigued about, just because it got me, I could see some people not getting sucked into it a little bit, but I enjoyed it a lot. I was a big fan.
And then on the gaming side, I've been playing through the Mass Effect trilogy. I had already played Mass Effect 1 forever ago, and it's in my all-time like top five games ever. But I never played 2 and 3. I'm trying to play through 2 and 3 before Mass Effect Andromeda launches next spring.
Mm-hmm.
And I finished Mass Effect 2. Loved it, loved it, loved it. The gameplay is way better than Mass Effect 1. The story isn't nearly as good, but it is still good. And lots of interesting decisions to be made, especially near the end of the game. So love that. And if you want to chat about Mass Effect 2 sometime, feel free to hit me up in any of the ways that we'll talk about in a few minutes in the wrap up.
Yeah. I've been, as always, watching my regulars, I would say. So if you listen to last week, not much has changed since then. I've it's getting into the season finale season over here for a lot of my shows. So Project Runway, super good. We're at New York Fashion Week this week. Goldberg's, super excited about Brooklyn Nine-Nine, getting back into that. Walking Dead, still terrible.
I'm so glad I gave up on that show.
Still terrible, still love it. It's been getting better. The last episode, I would say, is it's like they're slowly reversing all the things you hated about this season. And you're like, just freaking get over with it already. Like, Rick, we get it. Like, this season, no spoilers, Rick went from like a complete BA to being like a baby, and now he's finally coming back to life again. Yeah, anyways, so part of that HBO thing, as I said, well, what else is on HBO? I haven't looked at HBO in a long, long time. So I mentioned this show that I forgot the name of, and then I found it. It's a show called Insecure, which is like a comedy drama type show. It's extremely good. It's like the very polar opposite of Girls, more real world. So if you hated Girls, but kind of want that more dark humor in a world that is not Girls, then you would like Insecure. It's very good. I have purchased and am super excited about it. I have purchased season one of Mr. Robot.
Oh, so good. So, so good.
I have not watched it. And I wanted to ask you. So we usually don't watch super dark shows like or anything with a lot of violence at night. How, I don't even know how Mr. Robot starts. Is like, is it intense? Is it like something you could watch nonstop, or is it like watch in the afternoon?
There's some violence, but not a ton.
Okay.
You're probably not going to want to sit down and watch like the whole season.
Okay.
In one sitting.
Okay.
Cause it is intense.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not tremendously violent. There are some violent scenes, but not a ton. It's not an HBO show where it's like, we have to have violence and everything. But you're going to want a little bit of time to think through the episodes.
Okay. So kind of reflect back. All right. That's good.
Yeah.
I purchased it. I'm excited to go see it. There's a lot of deals on Google Play. So I bought a lot of seasons of stuff that I don't normally get as part of Hulu. On the game side of things, I've been playing a lot of Pokemon Moon. So the standard Pokemon Fair, super good. This is the first time I played like the 3D iterations of the Pokemon series. So it's been a little bit, even though I've bought X and Y and a few other ones. Moon, super crazy good. A little bit easy for my liking thus far, about 12, 14 hours in, but very good. Of course, I mentioned it last week, but Super Mario Run, the runner is out. We had a whole conversation, Josh and I, before the show. There's a lot of content in it for a free game. It's pretty good. I bought the $10 because I like to replay all these levels over and over again and get coins. I really like it. I don't even own an iPhone. This is on my debug device. So I still gave Nintendo, I guess it would actually be $7 is what Nintendo gets. Apple gets the $3.
Right.
And then, of course, I'm still attempting to get through Titanfall 2, just a campaign. It's kind of Pokemon took over my life, but essentially that is my Xbox One game. Until I beat it, I'm not allowed to go on to another Xbox One game until I beat a game. That's my new strategy.
Well, the Titanfall 2 campaign isn't that long.
Yeah, that takes.
It's got to be like less than 10 hours, right?
Yeah, anything over 2 hours in a game where I sit on a TV, that's too long. That's why I like Max Payne 1. Phenomenal game that you can beat in like 2.5 hours. The perfect length of time for a video game. In my honest opinion, maybe that's why I like Super Mario Run so much. I'm just like, well, I beat the whole thing in 2 minutes now. It's like,
did you ever play Inside?
I did not play Inside. Oh, you told me to, and I think yes. I purchased it.
It's about two and a half hours.
Okay, that's I need to go buy that.
Hurry up and finish Titanfall 2 and go and play Inside. Okay. And if you didn't buy it, wait until Thursday because it'll probably be on sale.
Yeah, I'll do that. I like it. Cool. That's cool. It.
All right, that is it. So if you want to get a hold of us, there's a bunch of ways you can do that. I'm at Josh Pollard on Twitter. Richard, even though he's not here, he's still on Twitter. He's at Richard Gunther. The website is at Digimedia Zone. James, you are?
You can find me all over the place. I am at James Montemagno. Essentially, just look for the names of us that are podcasting. We did a good job, reserved our names. And the only other place you can find me besides Twitter is if you like podcasts, because you happen to be listening to a podcast. I also have another podcast, which is called Merge Conflict. It's on technology and development. It's a weekly show released on Mondays. It'll be ready for you when you get off to the work. Josh listens to it. He gave me a 6-star review on iTunes, 6 out of 5. I appreciate that. You can get it anywhere. If you can go to mergeconflict.fm, that's where you can to get it from. I would love your subscription.
It's free. I do love it.
Yeah, it's free. So
yeah, there you go. Mm-hmm. No DLC for Merge Conflict.
No DLC. No DLC.
All right. We're also on Facebook, facebook.com/thedmz. You can email us, like we've said a bunch of times tonight, entertainment20@thedigitalmediazone.com. James has got his other show. Well, Richard's got his other show also. It's called Home On. It covers the latest home automation and control news. New episode this week. It's the year-end fireside chat with the guys, Seth and Jason from Home Tech FM and Mike Wolf from the Smart Home Show. They all sit down to kind of review the year of home automation that we just finished up and to take a look at what they think we will be experiencing next year. It's always a lot of fun listening to those guys. So you'll want to check out the latest Home On for sure. And, you know, if you like any of these shows, like James mentioned, you should head on over to iTunes and leave us a rating or a review. It helps us a lot. You know, I like Home On. James, do you like Home On?
I'm a big fan of Home On. I recently just got into home automation. I got a Google Home. And if you like hearing this smooth, smooth podcasting voice on a future episode upcoming, I don't know if it's 83 or 84, I'm going to give you my input on Google Home and the automation that I'm doing in my house. Richard had me on because he just loves talking to me so much. There was like 4 weeks in a row where I got to podcast with him. It was quite a bit. Big fan. And cool. Just like that, when you love a show, I also like to give the feedback on the iTunes. Or if you use Overcast, there's a recommend button and all of your friends will see that you like Entertainment 2.0, Home On, or Merge Conflict. So if you're an iOS user, you're most likely using Overcast because it's an amazing application and you can hit recommend and all your friends can then see what stuff you're watching.
I like it. Good tip. Mm-hmm, all tip. Right. Well, if you want to participate in the show as directly as humanly possible, you can do that by coming while we're recording the show. You can head on over to the DMZ and we have a live stream of the show. We also have a chat room so that you can talk with us while we're recording this. Get your feedback in while we're doing the show. It's a ton of fun for us. We think it's a ton of fun for you guys. Follow us on Twitter to know when it's going to happen for sure. But it is, generally speaking, Tuesday nights, 8:30 p.m. Eastern. You know, next week, I think I said this last time, but
holiday show.
I don't know. It's probably not going to be a show next week with the holidays and traveling and all that stuff. Probably no show next week, but we'll see. I've been wrong about that in the past. James wants to bring back the holiday spectacular.
Just go back. If you need something to listen to on the holidays, you can go back about 4 or 5 years, 4 years, something like that. And you can find the holiday special. I'm sure it's somewhere.
Man, those were some crazy episodes.
Oh, yeah.
Was that the one? Cause I think we had you on a couple of holiday spectaculars, but I think there was one in particular where you were drinking far too much wine.
Yeah, I was home in Ohio. And when you're home in Ohio, there's literally nothing else to do. So you just drink a lot of wine.
Being someone who is home in Ohio every single day of every single year, I completely agree with you.
Exactly. That's why I moved far, far away.
All right. So that's going to do it for episode 392. I've been joined this week by James Montemagno. Again, thank you, James, for coming around and helping us out.
Honor and a privilege.
I'm Josh Pollard, and I'll be back next time for episode 393. Until then, adios.